Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890-925-KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Welcome, welcome, Southern Utah. We are Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, and we are so glad you are here with us today. As always, if you have any questions or comments, you can call us at 435-477-6999. Again, our contact and telephone number is 435-477-6999. If you want to know more about us or why we're here, please check us out on our website at pathwayhospicecare.com. We are so much more than just hospice.
So it is Wellness Wednesday, and every week we try and bring information that'd be useful to help people, you know, do better in their life, having, you know, as seniors. Certainly healthcare should be a little different, but we really want to bring information that's useful, and we hope we do every week. Last week we were having a conversation about getting better access to the best healthcare. And specifically we were talking about medical devices and some of the problems that are there. Now, that I'm going to go with the system is broken, and we can argue about the system all we want, but we should just be working with it. So our goal here was to give you some paths that you could accomplish the best healthcare for yourself.
Our goal really always is to help you be your own best medical advocate, if that's the direction that you need, or to help you find the resources and programs available to help you live a higher quality, better life. So that's really the focus of each of our topics each week.
And the other part of what we try and do is answer questions that people have, because the more the questions get answered, the more effective those answers are, the better people can make better decisions. So when we were talking last week about being your own best medical advocate and making sure to find, you know, the best medical solution that's for you, not necessarily just the newest unproven medical solution, but the one that's best for you, and asking questions of your physician and understanding that some of the stuff is driven by money, and that may not be where you want to go. So we just wanted to give you some tools to do that, because the loopholes that are out there and we were specifically talking about medical devices and the loopholes in the law right now that allow medical devices to actually go into the market almost untested and with features or aspects that are proven to be bad, but they still get out there. So you should be much better informed. And we're talking about medical devices. Those are the ones that are implanted. And it's just a problem that exists that we were trying to get people to understand.
I think most of us can agree that there are a lot of broken systems. I don't think that was the intent when they were being created. But programs have a way, as money finds its way into any system. Sometimes it corrupts the intent of a really fabulous system. So we don't want to scare you. We want to educate you. We want you to help improve the choices that you make by knowing the questions to ask.
Right. To make sure that you're getting the best care for your health without being injured or hurt by the healthcare industry. How about that? Is that a fair?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there's a lot of money spent by the pharmaceutical and medical device industry to induce doctors to use their products. And I don't think that that's a controversial thing to say. I think it's well known. People realize that.
And if you don't know it, understand that there is a whole lot of money spent in marketing, usually more than R&D, in trying to promote these things. Now, in the pharmaceutical industry, there's a lot of direct-to-consumer marketing, and that only exists in the U.S. and in New Zealand. Every other country has kept that out. But when we're talking about medical devices, you don't see those on every news broadcast, national news broadcast as being the sponsor, because that's not where they've spent their marketing money. They've spent it somewhere else, and just know that that goes to doctors. So what happened was we had this discussion, and we had made a comment about doctors getting compensated. It wasn't the focus of the conversation, but that was the one that sparked the most
yes,
questions.
It did.
Was, oh, really? Do doctors get compensated? And so we just thought we'd clear that up.
Well, and the comment, if there was a problem, it wouldn't have been approved by the FDA. That's often held as the patients and the doctors alike. Like, right. That can't happen. You know, there's other government entities that step in and intervene. Well, I mean, they do, but probably, you know, too late sometimes.
And sometimes not at all. You know,
they don't catch it.
Once something is submitted and accepted by the FDA, it takes an act of Congress to get that
literally
removed, you know, from the products, even if it's a bad product. So, like we said, it's a broken system. We are just helping you find your best way through it. So the question that came up with doctors, you know, do they really get compensated for using a particular product or not? And some of the responses, some of the, you know, issues that are out there, and these are things that we're familiar with. This is one of those, you know, I hate to call it a dirty little secret because it's not a secret, but it's something that the industry tries to not let out into the public. And there are, you know, as somebody said, there are some rules that are against that.
Well, I think that the generalization is if people realize that that happened, then they lose the confidence in the device. And the devices are sometimes very, very necessary. Mm-hmm. So the truth is we need to be aware of what happens so that we can ask the questions and make the correct choices so we don't have to fear. What's the old adage? If you're prepared, you have no reason to fear. That's not exactly how it's said, right, but that's the essence of it. And so that's really, you know, the important thing to understand. Doctors tend to trust the advice of the experts. In this case, those experts are the sales representatives of the device manufacturers, that the device is a good device. Often doctors just believe that all the studies have been done, and doctors innocently, I think in many cases, not all cases, but in many cases, they innocently believe, just like the general populace, that if the device has been approved by the FDA, then it has been well tested, studied, vetted, and admitted into the system. But we can kind of see by all the class action lawsuits that maybe they haven't had all the vetting or the studies that we expected of them.
Right. And you've probably heard, you know, ads on television and radio asking people to join class actions for particular medical procedures and devices. And we're not going to get into that today. So let me say, it's not the doctor's fault. It's the system, right? The system is always pressuring doctors to make these decisions. And there are ways that they can do it illegally. There are some laws in place that are supposed to keep some things from happening.
Right. And not to all protect the population.
Not all payola is protected by laws. You know, they're not trying to eliminate all of it, but there are some laws. And in fact, that was one of the things that came up. So I'm going to go into kind of a deep dive because I want you to have all the information so you can have an informed decision for yourself, but also you can filter what other people are saying. So there are three major laws that are very commonly referred to. Okay, the False Claims Act, which is the oldest. It was enacted in 1863. Okay, and I'm just going to read to you the first sentence of this. The civil FCA, False Claims Act, protects the government from being overcharged or sold shoddy goods or services. It is illegal to submit claims for payment to Medicare and Medicaid that you know or should know are false or fraudulent.
That's interesting. Then why doesn't our government use that law more?
Well, they do. Let me just say this. But it was interesting that it only protects government payments. Okay, this is not a law that protects you. It's a law that protects the government from paying for things that aren't that are shoddy.
So, if you're Medicare or Medicaid beneficiary,
you have some protection under this, right? There isn't going to be as much money used for marketing for the products and goods that you use. Not that it's none, but there's not as much. It's not as ridiculous. Okay, the second one is the Anti-Kickback Statute. And this says the Anti-Kickback Statute is a criminal law that prohibits the knowing and willful payment of remunerations to induce or reward patient referrals or the generation of business involving any items or services payable by the federal health care programs, such as drugs, supplies, or health care services for Medicare, Medicaid patients. Again, this law is in place so that the federal government doesn't pay for stuff that is just intended to make money, you know, or to create more revenue than it should. Okay. And then the third one is the physician self-referral law, which is also known as the Stark Law. You may have heard that, where physicians can't refer to businesses that they have an ownership or their family has an ownership interest in. So let me read this to you. The physician self-referral law, commonly referred to as the Stark Law, prohibits physicians from referring patients to receive designated health services payable by Medicare or Medicaid from entities with which the physician or an immediate family member has a financial relationship, unless exceptions apply. So those are the three main laws that say, hey, this doesn't happen. But what this really says, if you just read that first sentence, is it doesn't happen much if we're involved with Medicare and Medicaid. And for seniors, most of us are.
And what I hear is, unless exceptions apply, you know, whenever there's money involved, there are those who will look for the exceptions or the ways to massage the truth so that there's a monetary benefit, right?
Well, yeah, and you use that phrase, and let me go that the federal government has actually created statutes specifically about those exceptions. It's called Safe Harbor. You can look that up. So the Safe Harbor laws are the things that can be done. That are actually written down as these are things that you can do. And then between what the government has said you can't do and what the government has said you can do is a wide range of things that have not been determined yet. And that's where these medical device companies and pharmaceutical companies and everybody else are trying to find a place to throw money in order to generate revenue.
And attorneys are really creative.
They are. They come up with all kinds of things. And sometimes the government changes their rules because that happens. Because physicians were paid consulting fees, huge consulting fees for doing almost nothing other than making sure that they're using that particular device. And we're talking specifically about the device industry because that's where the most problems are. Here's the deal. Most medical implant devices are not covered by Medicare and Medicaid. So it's open season. They can do all kinds of stuff. But if they do that to Medicare, Medicaid recipients, then they become responsible.
But interestingly enough, the government responded to the consulting fees. And if you look this up, just this year, there was recently a case settled, and the change came to the verbiage consulting fee, and now it includes marketing fees.
Right.
So there's always, people trying to skirt the system a little bit.
Yeah, so this, again, we're just trying to show that this exists.
It happens.
We're not trying to hide it.
No.
It exists. You shouldn't worry about it. Hopefully, there will be a system that will come in and help change that. But while it's not changed, we are just trying to help you make sure that you care for your health the best way that you can without being injured or hurt by the healthcare industry.
Use the system for your best outcome, and that's what we really have to do. If we know that this exists, then we can find ways for ourselves to get the outcome that we're looking for. And that's kind of the problem. If you blindly walk into a system not understanding, you know, that there's a game in the works, then you might accidentally become a byproduct of that. But if you absolutely know walking into it, you'll be able to ask the questions and identify what is the best outcome for you. So it's about taking control and advocating for yourself as a patient, as a beneficiary of the Medicare, Medicaid, insurance system, self-pay, whatever it is, you have to take control for yourself.
And I think if anybody's trying to obscure these facts or, you know, try and claim that, oh, that doesn't really happen, if they're doing that because they're afraid that it's going to undermine the trust of the doctor, then maybe it would be better to open this up to conversation, have everybody be forthright and expose all of this. And instead of saying, oh, it doesn't exist, say, well, it does. And that's not going to affect my decision as a doctor for you, and it shouldn't affect your decision as a patient as to what we're going to do. And that would be the best, is for everybody to just be, you know,
open
and upstanding and say, yes, we have people come in and bring us lunches. You know, we've got a lunch schedule in our office that's covered for the next couple of months where different companies are coming in and buying us lunch and, you know,
selling
their product. And that happens. And that is, there's nothing wrong with that. That is completely legitimate business. That's within all of these laws. That's completely available.
As long as it went through the medical assistant.
Right. So, you know, if somebody's bringing in pizza and, you know, they get a chance to talk to a doctor, maybe. Now, I don't know that a $5 pizza from Little Caesars is going to, you know, cause any pizza dementia for anybody, but that could. Now, here's where the problem comes when that pizza isn't from Little Caesars, but it's you picking it up in Rome, Italy, because
with your family.
With your family, because you've been told that you need to be at a conference and it's an all-expense-paid visit. That's the kind of pizza dementia that might cause a doctor to make a different decision.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So we, if you just know what those things are, then you can be better prepared to make better decisions and understand the pressures that doctors are under to try and push products that they may not think are necessarily necessary, like, you know, undercoating on a car here in Southern Utah. It's just one of those things that is out there, and it's one of the evils.
And let's be honest, I think sometimes we've all become innocent victims of a system, right? Our intent, or somebody offers us something and we think, oh, well, if this product is the same as this product and this one comes with a rebate, I'll buy this product, right? So I don't think that, you know, the intent was of an evil nature, but I think the outcome has kind of gotten a little out of control.
Right. Now, we're not trying to make this bigger than it is, but just in the recent years, there's a number of headlines to kind of frame how bad this is. So there was a company called Spine Frontier. They were found guilty and had to pay $8 million in penalties to the government because they had done more than they should have. And a number of doctors had actually, you know, admitted to that, and they were penalized. And there are other doctors that didn't want to admit to it, and they're still in litigation. But
an $8 million will only be a percentage
small
of
percent.
Their benefit.
Yeah, you know, I think it was Bayer that makes $634 million, and this is just $634 billion. But they did have to pay $130 million in lawsuits. Well, I think if those are the returns, you'd still pay for the lawsuits in order to sell the products. So, but this isn't just about the medical device company. There was one doctor who admitted wrongdoing, and he had to pay back $1.75 million because they had paid him in huge numbers of consulting fees and everything else with no real return of investment. They didn't want that. As long as he was installing these devices that Spine Frontier had. He was one of six doctors that admitted. He was just the biggest one. And in that, they had thousands of dollars of lunches. And the only reason this became part of it was because even on the lunches, it was pay to play. The medical device company paid for lunch any day that they were using their products in surgery. That was the deal. So that, you just kind of see how everybody's trying to figure out a way to enrich people to get them to make bad decisions. So that was one. There's recent kickback case yields almost $20 million in settlements for the United States. And this is settlements. That's not how much the damage was. That's just how much the government got paid. And that was Athena Health, medical device company Anthrax paid $16 million to resolve kickback allegations. ResMed paid more than $37.5 million to settle kickback allegations. Philips subsidiary paid $24 million for alleged false claims caused by Respironics. And that was a company that provided ventilators and oxygen equipment. And that repercussion, there was a lot of callbacks and things like that. So that actually affected the oxygen supply company for a while here. That was Philips. The feds cracked down on medical device implants for profit industry, and that was Zimmer, DePue Orthopedics, and subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson, Biomet, and Smith & Nephew. Those were all major companies. And there was one other company, Stryker Orthopedics, that they swung a deal. They're not going to be charged with anything because they became a government witness on that. And then $18 million settlement for Merit Medical. Those are all within the past few years, you know, just prior to COVID. So to imagine that this doesn't happen isn't true. And that's all the illegal stuff that's happening. There's a lot of legal stuff that happens too.
Don't mention that Merit Medical Systems is a Utah company.
Okay, I won't mention that they're in Utah.
Go on.
All right.
Quickly.
So you can read all those articles. You can look up. It's easy to find. We're not going to try that's not what we're trying to push here. What we're trying to do is get people to understand that this is the system we're working in.
Right.
So with that system, ask questions of your doctor. Even if you think they're slightly uncomfortable questions, if we normalize those questions in conversation, then we change things. For instance, the idea of talking about salaries, you know, 20 years ago, we just don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
You don't discuss salaries. That's not right. But then we've had this push from the community and from people who have said, no, why isn't it right? Why aren't we having that discussion? And pretty soon, salary conversations are common.
Right.
And so we want to get that change, because if we can talk about the problems in the medical industry, then you and your doctor can come up with the best way to solve your particular issues. And that's really what we're trying to do, is get you there. So the recommendation that we had was, have conversations. Ask some simple questions. When a doctor recommends anything, don't imagine that he's trying to do something wrong. Expect that he's doing it right. But you should ask the questions of, okay, so why this particular product or drug or anything else versus some of the others? Because if you understand what the differences are, then you can understand how you might notice whether or not something is working.
Right? And I think it's important to remember that new is not always better.
No.
Now, it might be better, but you have to ask the appropriate questions to find out if it is better for you. I think a lot of people remember, you know, that there have been an uncountable number of breast implants that have been recalled. How do you recall a device that has been medically implanted into your body? It's, you know, that's a challenge, right?
Or become so entwined in scar tissue that there is no way to remove it properly. Those are all things that exist because people took the advice of the salespeople of companies that were producing products that hadn't been fully tested.
Right. So just ask the appropriate questions. That's really the important issue here. The topic really is about, again, advocating for yourself. Ask the appropriate questions. Don't be afraid to ask the appropriate questions, because it literally can be a life and death question for you.
Right. So why this product for me, doctor? What are the advantages of it over some of the others? And what are the other ones, and why might we change? Because medical care changes. You go from one to the next. We'll use chemotherapy as an example. There are a number of different chemotherapy drugs. All of them have slight differences. Some of them work better for a period of time, and then they fail to work in everybody. And so there's a constant change of those. And if you know why you're using one and then moving to the next, it makes that decision a little easier. But if you don't know why, just, oh, well, the doctor said, then that may be uncomfortable anyway.
And remember, the medical community or the device community gets to grandfather clause devices. So if you're being offered a new device, you'll want to know if the prior devices had any recalls. Because even if they were recalled, a new device can piggyback that original approval without all the studies. Well, I don't want to use a device that piggybacked on a device that was recalled. So you just want to look into those things.
A good example. Yeah, that's a great point. Because, for instance, a lot of those devices have used cobalt, and yet they have shown that cobalt is a toxin in the body and causes all kinds of problems. But those products keep coming back. So those would be questions. If you do your research, and we are not going to be able to cover everything on this broadcast,
no.
Do some research. When they say this is the device we want to use, go ahead and look that up and find out what the product has been used for and how it's been used and how effective it is. And if it's a new product, there won't be a lot of information. If it's a product that's 20 or 40 years old, then and the life studies, you know, the real life studies have not shown that it's bad, then I would say, yeah, that's a really good choice. But if it's something that's new on the market, you got to ask, why is it new? What's it replacing, and why is it replacing that? Is it because something else failed, or is it just because they can't make any money on an old product? They want to come up with something new that they can pay a lot more money for.
And if you are finding this topic daunting and overwhelming, remember that there are resources to help you advocate for yourself. There is an ombudsman run through five counties here in Utah that is super fabulous. Their counselors are incredible and kind and passionate, and they want to help you. But you're first and foremost should probably be family. Reach out to one of your children or a grandchild who has the technological capability of doing some study and research for you and helping you come up with the questions. Have them show up at the doctor's office with you before surgery to ask the appropriate questions.
And we look forward to seeing you next week and talking about something else. We'll keep trying to do what we can to bring information to the community. If you have any questions until then, our telephone number, 435 877-6999. We'd really like to hear from you.
Or our website.
Yeah, our website, Pathway Hospice Care, Pathway with a P, hospicecare.com.
So much more than just hospice.